Today is the third Sunday of Easter, and the readings for this morning are from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 25, and from the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Today's message is titled, Why I Believe the Scriptures. Our first lesson, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but is revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believed in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now, that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply, from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Here ends our lesson. Our gospel is from Luke chapter 24, beginning at the 13th verse. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. The gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, come calm our hearts during these uncertain times. Grant us confidence in your compassion and your unfailing love that you have revealed to us through the Holy Scriptures. Help our souls rest with reassurances of your sovereign hand sustaining us through these days. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, this sermon is titled, Why I Believe the Scriptures. Located in today's gospel reading in the Gospel of Luke is a verse I would like you to set in your minds to nurture the faith that resides in you. This verse will deepen the Christian faith that has changed you through and through from a sinner into a redeemed child of the living God. This verse helps set in place the authority of Scriptures. Now, many point to 2 Timothy for a verse that speaks clearly of the authority of Scripture, and it does speak clearly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. These two verses are fantastic and they point concerning the authority of Scriptures. But I say to you, there is a verse that demonstrates more clearly the authority of Scriptures and Scripture's ability to nurture and build the faith in you. And this verse is found in Luke chapter 24. Have I whetted your appetite sufficiently that you're hungry to hear which verse? Have I built up anticipation in you to deepen the desire to nurture and intensify the faith in you? Now, you need to wait a moment longer, just a moment longer, because I need to set the stage to enable this verse to speak volumes to your soul. Luke chapter 24, we enter the events of the day of resurrection. From Luke, we hear more, much more. We learn more. We gain more details of the events of that amazing day in history. Agreeing with the other gospel, it is the women who get up early and go to the tomb on the first day of the week. That Sunday early morning, long ago. The women were wondering who would roll the great stone away from the tomb to allow them to enter and to anoint Jesus' body with the spices and the perfumes they had with them. Upon arriving at the tomb, they find the stone rolled away and the body of Jesus gone. He is risen, the two dressed in brilliant white said to them. The women tell the 11, and the 11 did not believe them. To the 11, the words of the women were folly. They were utter nonsense. Yet, Peter ran to the tomb and found the strips of linen lying by themselves. Walking away, Peter wondered what happened. That was his condition. What happened? Next, we have Luke telling us of the experience of two disciples of Jesus who were part of that upper room gathering of followers of Jesus. These two were walking to Emmaus. In my imagination, I see Cleopas and the other disciple walking along with downcast faces, and I see their feet shuffling along, kicking dust, kicking a stone or two down the road, just trying to get emotions out. And Jesus approaches them and joins with them in their walk, and he desires to join in their conversation. The way Luke words things here, the two disciples or in more than a conversation as they walk along with downcast faces. Debating who Jesus was more the nature of that conversation. What happened to him? Being betrayed and crucified. Hope placed in Jesus to redeem Israel. And this third day, the women report of the empty tomb and angels who said Jesus was alive. And the verification of the empty tomb by others who did not see Jesus. These two were having a back and forth going, trying to make sense, trying to understand. Jesus crucified, and now the empty tomb and words, he's alive. Into this conversation, Jesus enters. He enters by way of a question. What are you discussing? And the way Jesus asks provoked a question from Cleopas. Luke chapter 24, verse 18. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" To which Jesus replies with an interrogative pronoun. An interrogative pronoun. It's poia. What things? Simply that, poia. What things? And the two disciples answer, and an answer you can sort of see is full of exasperation about Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus has these two just where he wants them. Jesus has now set the stage for this encounter. Luke chapter 24, verses 25 and 26. He, that is Jesus, said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" That word, translated as foolish, it means without thinking. Properly understood as not reasoning through things. Remember how Jesus over and over again told his disciples he was going to be handed over and suffer in Jerusalem and be crucified and died and on the third day rise. The prophets have spoken about these things. I wonder how many more times than those recorded in the scriptures Jesus told the disciples that Christ has to suffer to enter his glory. And the disciples were just too dense to understand. What took place in Jerusalem is exactly what the prophets said would take place. Verse 26 is the Greek word day. I've spoken about it in the past, but I just want to remind you again. Day means must happen. Absolutely necessary to happen. It is absolutely necessary that the Christ would suffer. This suffering was the only way to enter into his glory. The Christ must suffer to enter into his glory. And now the stage is set. It's set for that verse I've been building anticipation for. And that verse is Luke chapter 24, verse 27. And this verse is able to nurture and deepen the faith in you. Verse 27 speaks clearly of the authority of Scripture. I encourage you to highlight it, underline it in your Bible. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. Listen carefully as I read it to you. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning himself." Really let that sink in. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning himself." Really let that sink in and let the power penetrate deeply as I unpack the verse and explain why this verse clearly shows the authority of Scripture and is part and parcel as to why I believe the Scriptures. First, I begin with, who is doing this action? Who is the one explaining? It is Jesus, the crucified and risen Christ, is the one explaining. And Jesus begins with Moses, the earliest portions of the Scriptures and the giving of the law. The prophets then follow in Jesus explaining. The Greek word that's translated, it's a verb, that's translated as explained. It's full of meaning. The Greek verb root means to interpret. But Luke intensifies that meaning of interpret, to thoroughly interpret, to accurately and fully explain. What is taking place on that road to Emmaus must have been simply amazing. To hear Jesus walk through the Word of God, the Scriptures, unfolding event after event that had just happened. Listen to the feeling of the two disciples. Luke chapter 24, verse 32. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" The word translated as "opened" has also been intensified by that Greek portion, dia, all the way across. Fully opened the scriptures to the two. Their experience was such that the two just had to share with the 11. Even as evening was coming on, they had to share with the 11. They rushed back to Jerusalem. Now, some passages of scripture to increase your understanding of the events of Jerusalem. If you need to, close your eyes, but don't fall asleep, but close your eyes. Imagine you're in Jerusalem during those days as Jesus is crucified and rises. Just see him up on the cross, or see him being led to the cross, and hear these verses of scripture from Psalm 22, written about 1,000 years earlier. Hear these words that even Jesus spoke from the cross. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" A little farther down in Psalm 22, "All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. They shout at him, 'He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.'" Also from Psalm 22, "A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." Did you see those actions in your minds on that hill outside Jerusalem? Actions that were written about 1,000 years earlier, found in Psalm 22. How about Isaiah chapter 53, written about 700 years earlier? Hear these words of Isaiah and see them fulfilled in Jesus. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The judgment, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer." Did you make connections as you heard these portions of Scripture? These words do describe what happened to Jesus in Jerusalem. Jesus is opening the Scriptures for these two disciples to make the connections, just as you are making these connections this morning. Laying out some logic here. What source has Jesus used to explain and bring understanding to what took place to him in Jerusalem? The answer is the Scriptures. Who is Jesus? He is the Christ, the Son of God. Now hear this well. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, crucified and risen, is showing the way to understand who he is and what has been accomplished is turning to the Scriptures. The source Jesus Christ turns to, crucified and risen Son of God, the source he goes to is the Scripture. This is not unique to Luke chapter 24, verse 27. Addition, I invite you to pay particular attention that throughout the Gospels, how Jesus makes use of the Scriptures. Consider the Gospel of Matthew, written to show Jesus fulfills Scripture. Over and over in the Gospel of Matthew is found the word fulfill. showing Jesus is the Christ. Luke chapter 4 tells us of the time Jesus reads from the scroll of Isaiah chapter 61 in the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. Jesus then sits down to teach and begins by saying, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Or consider the number of times Jesus asked, "What is written?" or said, "It is written." Each time Jesus was showing the scripture is the word of God. This verse could not be more clearly stated. Gospel of John chapter 5 verse 46. "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." How Jesus makes use of the written word, the scripture, looms large in why I believe the scriptures. To help you understand me more, I want you to know that I've always approached the Bible as the Word of God. Never as something less than the very Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. When I was preparing to begin seminary, I was looking forward to learning more, digging in and getting deeper understanding. I knew I'd be taking Greek and Hebrew too, to be able to start reading the books of the Bible in the original languages. I thought I would experience Bible studies to grow in understanding and add a richness and depth to the faith for use in my life. However, that is not what happened in classes. New Testament class. It began with historical and literary criticism and various things along that line. Instead of nurturing the faith, I encountered deconstruction of the faith. Mark was written first. Matthew and Luke copied Mark. All three relied on a document called Q. Yet, there has never been found any document Q. All manuscripts found, all papyrus found, have been either of Matthew, Mark, or Luke. No Q. In Old Testament, more deconstruction. Not the devotion that I was looking for, that I was hungering for. I was looking for what would prepare the heart for pastoring, but that was solely and sorely lacking. I was astonished by the lack of belief in the possibility of wonders and miracles and things that we would term supernatural, like parting of the Red Sea, the virgin birth. The books of Moses were not written by Moses. They were compiled years later by different groups, distinguished by the different names used for God and also the different literary styles. The deconstruction of Old Testament began. There are the Yahwists, who use Yahweh for God's name. The Elohists, who use Elohim for God's name. The Deuteronomists, who wrote in that style that is the book of Deuteronomy. And then there's the Priestly, the authors of Leviticus and the priestly laws and traditions. Again, like Q, there is no historical reference nor records of such separate writings ever existing or referred to in times past. I encountered in class after class, instead of that devotion and nurturing of faith, I found the Bible being treated as any other book. I found a lack of reverence, a lack of awe, a lack of wonder, and it troubled me. To me, there is an unawareness that in the scripture, you will encounter the holy, compassionate God who created us and cares for us. A God out of great love reveals his word to us to enable us to live holy lives in obedience. And when we fail and when we fall, we have a redeeming Savior who paid the redeeming price in full with his own precious blood. As Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Treating the scripture as the word of God with reverence was sorely lacking. Needless to say, I had difficulty getting through seminary simply because I would not let go of the Scripture is the Word of God. I would not deconstruct. I would not take apart. I would not pick and choose what is God's Word and what is not. I would remain grounded in the Christian orthodoxy that was handed down from the times of the apostles and in the ages past fueled the Reformation. Where else is there the good news of Jesus Christ? Where else will you find a God so full of compassion and love that he gave his only begotten Son to die for your sins? Where else would you read of a future life full of hope and grace? Where else is eternal life freely given and being adopted as a child of God and given the Holy Spirit through the waters of baptism? Where else is such a forgiveness to be found and given? The breaking of the bread and the passing of the cup. Where else is such cohesiveness in understanding of the nature of man as fallen and in need of redeeming? Where else would you find the Christ willingly suffer and die while we were still sinners? That is love. That is grace. That is the story I love to tell. The message of salvation in Jesus Christ from God's own Holy Word. This is why I believe the Scriptures. Amen and amen.